Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied to all of you from God our Father and our Lord, Savior, and King, Jesus Christ. Amen. This fall, we've been looking at a number of stories in the Old Testament and finding Jesus there, how it points forward to and shows us how Jesus comes and makes it even bigger, better, and greater. Well, today we're into the book of Daniel, and it's a bit of a challenging book. There's usually one story that we know most of Daniel, and that's Daniel and the lion's den. And here's another one from Daniel, but it actually doesn't involve Daniel himself, so it can be a little confusing. Book of Daniel, not about Daniel. What happens is in 587 BC, so you have 1000 BC is King David, the glory days of Israel, hundreds of years later of not following God and not following God and not following God, God allows Babylon, the world power at the time, to come and take over, destroy Jerusalem, take over Israel. So that's, or the southern kingdom, that's Judah, in 587. And it happens in waves, so that's the last. So you walk it back a little bit, and one of the first raids they take and capture important people, take them back to Babylon. One of the first waves, Daniel was taken, along with the three men whose names are repeated over and over and over again in chapter 3 that tells you their importance, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They're all taken in early waves, so this is more like 594 BC. And when they get to Babylon, they surprisingly gain favor with the king. King Nebuchadnezzar trains them for years then to be advisors and rulers, which is quite unique. God's people are devastated, they're destroyed, defeated, and yet some of God's people end up in the pagan land working for the enemy and faithfully serving there. This is quite unique. They earn the respect of the king and they serve dutifully. Now, this isn't where we're going today, but I think there are some very good mission implications. And that is that you can be faithful to God in some very strange places. And I know some of you that are and that have. You can be faithful to God in some strange places. Most people, most of their peers would have said, "How can you help Babylon, the enemy?" But they found a way to be faithful to God and to faithfully serve and honor in an earthly way King Nebuchadnezzar while never denying the true God. But then there came the day when they were tested. Daniel appears to be off overseeing a province further away, so he's not a part of the story. And so it zeroes in on Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And King Nebuchadnezzar made this giant, 90 feet tall, 9 feet wide image of gold, likely to one of the Babylonian gods, and then sets it up. And he calls everybody, governors, advisors, everyone to dedicate it and bow down. And the herald says, as soon as you hear all the instruments and everybody playing music, you know, when that happens, fall down and worship the image the king has set up. And whoever does not bow down and worship immediately will be thrown into the blazing furnace. Now, it was common to have those. Think of kilns, a very large kiln for making things, but also for metals, purifying metals to make weapons. But it was also used for punishment. And so people notice something. Some of the people notice, and then they go to King Nebuchadnezzar and say, "Hey, Your Majesty, these foreigners you brought in, these Israelites that you put in charge, they don't obey you. They don't serve you. They don't worship the gods, and they won't worship this image you've set up." And Nebuchadnezzar, who was a great leader, but also known for his rage, says, furious with rage, calls him over and says, "Is it true that you don't serve my gods and you won't worship the image that I set up?" And he says, I'll give you three one more chance to prove yourselves. And then they reply, they say, "King Nebuchadnezzar, Your Majesty, we do not need to defend ourselves before you about this. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us. But even if he does not, we want you to know that we will not serve your gods or worship the image you have set up." And I believe they said it in the most respectful way possible because they have already earned his favor and they've already been serving faithfully there, but they said, this we won't do. And then Nebuchadnezzar flies off the handle. He's furious and he says, not just the furnace, but, you know, 7 times hotter. So he makes it hotter and hotter. And then he goes and gets some of the strongest soldiers to tie them up with all their clothes on and then throw them into the furnace. And it was so hot that those throwing them in, themselves died. And then King Nebuchadnezzar watches. And then before he can enjoy it, he quickly leaps to his feet and says, wait a second, so what's going on? In amazement, he says, weren't there three men that I had tied up and thrown into the fire? And people say, yes, your majesty. And he said, well, look, there's not three anymore, there's four. And there's four people walking around, and they're not tied up, and they're not harmed. And the fourth one looks like a son of the gods. And then Nebuchadnezzar approaches the opening and shouts at them, hey, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, come out, come here. And so they come out, and everyone looks, and having been in this fire that killed the people that threw them in, they're surprised to see that their bodies, their skin's fine, their hair's not singed, their clothes are not burnt, and they don't smell like fire at all. And then Nebuchadnezzar realizes something and says, praise be to their God, the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent his angel and rescued his servants. They trusted him and defied my commands, and they were willing to give up their lives rather than serve and worship any other than their God. And then in the end, he ended up promoting them further. So this story reminds me of what is my confirmation verse. It's Revelation 2:10, and it simply says this, be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. Revelation, God's talking to, you know, the churches in modern-day Turkey, but he simply says, be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. Now, it used to freak me out a little bit when I said, ooh, unto death, that's my verse. What's that going to mean for my life? So I looked at it closely, and then you look at the sentence, the verb, the main part is simply be faithful. Be faithful. And in this case, it's be faithful and leave the rest to God. Be faithful and leave the rest to God. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were not willing to bow to another god. They were not willing to break the first commandment. They knew and they believed and they said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might, and love your neighbor as yourself. And they did in serving the king, but they were not willing to bow to another god. And they knew what the consequence would be, and they simply were faithful and left the rest to God. Be faithful and leave the rest to God. That's the point today, but we'll come back to that because as we've looked at all these stories, there's something unique here about this story than all the other stories we've looked at in the Old Testament. We've looked at many stories that point to Jesus, the first promise of a Savior in Genesis 3 as Adam and Eve ruin the world, so to speak. And Noah and the flood, Noah was the one faithful man that God used to save the world, and Jesus was the ultimately faithful God-man who saved all of us. Abraham and Isaac points to Jesus as the true and perfect Son who is sacrificed for us. Moses in the Passover taught us that by the blood of the true Lamb of God, the angel of eternal death passes over you. And last week we looked at the bronze serpent that was lifted up in the desert, and those who looked in faith lived. And Jesus lifted up on the cross for you and me. We look to him and we live. Now, I've loved studying these stories, but these are all a certain type of thing. These are all images. These are all foreshadowings, things that look like Jesus. And when Jesus appears, we finally see all the pieces. Today in Daniel, what's different is that Jesus actually appears. That's right. Jesus actually appears. Jesus appears a number of times in the Old Testament, and people give fancy words to it. They call them pre-incarnate appearances of Jesus. Before incarnation, before being born to Mary, appearing. As Jesus is the Word made flesh, the Word from the beginning, he's always been, he appears in places before he is born. So Nebuchadnezzar has Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego thrown in this 7 times hot furnace, and then he's about to sit back, you know, get some popcorn and enjoy their demise. And then immediately he can't believe what he sees. He leaps to his feet and rubs his eyes and wait a minute, what am I looking at? There were three guys, right? There were three of them. And yeah, there were three. And what do I see? And his words are, I see four men walking around unharmed, unbound, and the fourth one looks like the son of the gods. Now, if you're the King Nebuchadnezzar, an ungodly pagan king of a foreign land, and you lay eyes on Jesus, how might you, in your own way, describe what that looks like? Call him a son of the gods. And throughout all of most of Christian history, yes, some suggest, well, it was only an angel, but I'm telling you, most Bible scholars and most people, going back to the earliest times, even St. Jerome in the 4th century writes about this, they always believed that this was Jesus appearing early. And there are other parts, places of the Old Testament, we didn't look at any others this fall, this is the one we were looking at. They call it pre-incarnate appearance of Jesus. The fourth man in the furnace was none other than Jesus. Jesus came to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego 600 years before he was born in Bethlehem, and here he saves them. And which is even striking to me is that even the pagan and persecuting King Nebuchadnezzar was gifted being able to lay his eyes on the Savior. Well, today, just as Jesus joined them in their fiery furnace, Jesus joins you in yours. And I'm not sure what that looks like for you today or this week or this season or what kind of furnaces you feel like you have lived through in your life, but Jesus promises to be with you. That's why his final words to his disciples as he's ascending into heaven is, I am with you always until the end of time. Just as Jesus joined them in their furnace, Jesus joins you in yours. Now, I know what some of you are hoping for at this point. Some of you are hoping that what it means that if Jesus is with you like he is with them, then you won't ever be burned. You won't ever be hurt. You won't face death, or you won't face hardship or persecution, or you won't face anything difficult. And if I were to tell you that, I would actually not be telling you the truth. I would be selling you fool's gold. Because God does not promise you an easy life, but God promises to always be with you. This is why Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when they're about to be thrown in, you have to listen to their words. They're about to be thrown in. The king confronts them and says, hey, I'll give you another chance. And here's what they say. It's verse 17 and 18. They say, if we are thrown in to this blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it and to deliver us from your hand. But then they say, but even if he does not, we want you to know, good king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image that you have set up. So what they say is, either way, live or die, we know that our God is with us. And because God is with us, we can be faithful and leave the rest up to God. Be faithful and leave the rest to God. Why? Because God is with you. Jesus, when he was in a crisis of faithfulness, you might say, he prayed in the garden, sweating blood, as Luke tells us, saying, Father, is there any other way? He's facing death, facing arrest, knows what's coming, and he says, is there any other way? Spare this cup and this cross from me. But then he says, but not my will, but your will be done. And then Jesus was later arrested, whipped, sentenced, and crucified for you. Jesus, in that moment, and with his whole life, was faithful and left the rest to the Father. And it's Jesus' faithfulness that gives you forgiveness and gives you life. Be faithful and leave the rest to God. Be faithful in prayer. Be faithful in loving and in living God's word. Be faithful in gathering together with other Christians. Be faithful in what God has called you to this week. For Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were put to the test. Bow down or else. And they simply said, we serve the king, but we worship God alone, and we will be faithful to our God because our God is with us no matter what. Be faithful and leave the rest to God. Say that with me. You know it now. Be faithful and leave the rest to God. Amen.